Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you're listening to Total EM. This is podcast number 3, and I must apologize again. You may have noticed in the last podcast that I said it had been almost a month. If you've been looking closely, it has actually been a little over a month. I'm still trying to figure out this podcasting, and it took a little longer than I imagined, which is the reason for the discrepancy in our posting dates. However, we will be trying to get content out regularly now. If I'm really lucky, we're hoping for about at least once a month, possibly more. We'll just have to see how things play out. Now, the paper I want to talk about, I've been really trying to get this out for a while. And I've been talking about, I even had a student, we've been discussing the paper. Thanks, Severin, for your help, by the way. Hopefully we can get you on the podcast, just like some of these other students I've been talking to about the whole podcasting thing and everything else. So, the title of the paper today is Immediate Total Body CT Scanning versus Conventional Imaging and Selective CT Scanning in Patients with Severe Trauma. This is the REACT-2 study, a randomized control trial. So, what I'm going to try and do for cases is we're going to start out with a case. And my choice for this patient, just as kind of one that seems like a good one appropriate for this, is a 36-year-old male who arrives via EMS for a rollover MVA with multiple injuries. He denies loss of consciousness or headache, but does have neck pain along with pain over the lower abdomen. He has signs of bruising from his seatbelt and red marks to the face from where the airbag deployed. The patient also reports some difficulty breathing, but says it started when the airbag deflated. Now, what's the background of our research? Well, previous studies that have not been randomized control trials have looked at the implantation of total body, quote-unquote, pan-scan CTs. However, we have not had a randomized control trial yet showing any difference in mortality between these two types of studies. The clinical question that the authors came up with is, does diagnosing patients with an immediate total body CT scan reduce in-hospital mortality compared with standard radiological workup? The way we are applying this is we're going to use what's called a PICO. PICO stands for population, intervention, comparison, and outcome. So let's start off with our population. The study included all non-pregnant trauma patients 18 years of age or older who had life-threatening conditions with one of the following: compromising vital parameters, clinical suspicion of life-threatening injuries, or severe injury. There's a lot of intricate details in this, and the best way to do this is we're just going to basically put this on the blog. You can look up and see what met the inclusion criteria specifically. Now, I do want to mention exclusion criteria in detail here because it is something, yes, it'll still be on the blog, but it's worth noting who they took out. So, known age of less than 18 years, known pregnancy, referred from another hospital, it's a good one to keep in mind in general, clearly low energy trauma with blunt injury mechanism, penetrating injury in one body region, except for gunshot wounds, which I think was a good call there, as the clearly isolated injury, or any patient judged to be too unstable to undergo a CT scan and requires, and they put in parentheses, cardiopulmonary resuscitation or immediate operation because death is imminent according to the trauma leader in mutual agreement with other leading caregivers. Now, the intervention was immediate total body CT from head to pelvis. There was no FAST exam or conventional radiography of the torso. Now, what was the comparison? It was conventional trauma protocol with selective CT scanning. The outcome, the primary outcome at least, in-hospital mortality. So what were the authors' conclusions? Well, the authors said that diagnosing patients with an immediate total body CT scan does not reduce in-hospital mortality compared with standard radiological workup. Because of the increased radiation dose, future research should focus on the selection of patients who will benefit from immediate total body CT. All right, so there's a quality checklist for randomized controlled trials that was developed by BEAM. BEAM stands for Best Evidence in Emergency Medicine. If this is sounding a little familiar to you, it's probably because you listen to SGEM, which is also called A Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. If you haven't taken a chance to listen to them yet, after you finish with this podcast, go over, check out the SGEM, and you'll be amazed with how well they go over studies in detail. So let's go over this quality checklist. The study population included or focused on those in the ED. Yes, definitely with the way the study was set up. Number two, the patients were adequately randomized. Yes, yes they were. Number three, the randomization process was concealed. Yeah, not in this design. It really wasn't possible. Four, the patients were analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized. So, no, this is actually a little tricky, but the patients who crossed over were removed from the trial, and those who declined participation or there was a language barrier were also excluded. Number five, the study patients were recruited consecutively, no selection bias. So this one I put as yes, but a little unsure, though, because there wasn't specific details that they said that. But from the way everything's designed, it looks like it was that way. Number six, patients in both groups were similar with respect to prognostic factors. Technically, no. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. But more patients in the total body CT group had polytrauma, polytrauma being trauma of multiple areas, but this will be discussed a little more in detail separately. Number seven, all participants, patients, clinicians, outcome assessors, were unaware of group allocation. No, in fact, pretty much everyone kind of knew what was going on here. Number eight, all groups were treated equally except for the intervention. This I'm a little unsure about. Again, really can't tell from the study truly if that's how it went. Number nine, follow-up was complete, i.e. at least 80% for both groups. Yes, it was. I even did a little calculation in the background trying to make sure this was correct, and basically everything I could see, there was really complete follow-up, especially for the in-hospital mortality, which makes sense. You should hopefully know whether or not the patient made it out of your hospital alive. Number 10, all patient-important outcomes were considered. Like to think so, especially if you're talking about mortality. I think patients really care about that one. Number 11, we finally got there, folks. The treatment effect was large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant. Little difficult to answer. And who knows, maybe the SGEM will kind of say, maybe I didn't get this totally right here, but I want to lean towards yes on this. All right, so what are the key results? Well, in-hospital mortality did not differ between the two groups, with total body CT having 86 deaths out of 541 patients, or 16%, and standard workup having 85 deaths out of 542 patients, again, 16%, with a p-value of 0.92 on analysis. Mortality also did not differ between groups in subgroup analysis, with patients of polytrauma, total body CT being 81 out of 362 dying, that's 22%, or standard workup, 82 deaths out of 331 patients, which is 25%, a p-value of 0.46. And traumatic brain injury, 68 of the 178 died. That's 38% mortality versus 66 of 151, which is a 44% mortality with a p-value of 0.31. Three serious adverse events were reported in patients in the total body CT group, 1% of all patients, one in the standard workup group, less than 1% of all patients, and one in a patient who was excluded after random allocation. All five patients died. And if you actually go and look at the paper, they explain a little more in detail about it. But really, in the end, doesn't seem to have played a major role as far as the actual outcome of the study. Okay, so there's some points that I like to put in here. And really, as far as it goes, we've got, sorry, Ken Millen, I've actually got about 6 points instead of five, but they, two of them kind of tie in together. So if you're listening, just imagine they're five. All right, my first key point. 46% of patients in the standard workup group underwent sequential segmental CT scans of all body regions. So essentially what they're saying is that in the end, they got a pan scan. Now that's almost half of all patients in the control arm eventually having a total body CT, which could potentially lead to bias as mortality rates may have been affected with this approach. It is worth noting that this approach is pragmatic since protocols were not changed for the purpose of the study. In other words, they didn't tell the other sites to say, hey, don't do the scan. You know, we're supposed to only stick with the standard radiological workup, which, again, I believe is appropriate in that sense. However, keep in mind that this much crossover could potentially dilute results even with the pragmatic design. So essentially, that's a lot of people getting a lot of scans that really were probably trying to be avoided. Total body scanning practices may have changed over time, which led to the differences in the scanning. This is where, Ken Millen, if you're listening, even though these are technically 2 points, they're all tied in together. So 5 points. Okay, the authors attribute this to experience over the course of the trial. Again, they wanted to point out that this makes the study design more pragmatic since they did not force new protocols in place. Hence, maybe that's why they had an increase in the total body scanning. All right, the next big point. Calculations of direct medical costs were done only in the Dutch hospitals. Now, if you notice with the study, so in the study there was, I believe, one Swiss hospital and then four Dutch hospitals. Keep in mind, some people are going to say, hey, that doesn't necessarily apply to other regions. However, they were basing this somewhat off an ATLS protocol, which should be international and we should recognize, even though there is a lot of debate about ATLS. But we'll put that to the side for a minute. Okay, so with the costs, this may be different in other locations in the world, such as the United States, where the variability in cost is astounding. As I know from personal experience, CT scans in Toledo, Ohio are much different in price than, say, Springfield, Missouri. So just keep that in mind. There is a lot of variability there, which could not necessarily reflect, you know, other countries and even in different parts of the United States. All right, so back on track here. So also the cost and the way that the study was designed implies that it is not only the initial cost, but it's actually certain related costs over the next 6 months. It's a little confusing to try and read what they include, what they don't include. They don't really specify as well as why, like I would have liked, even when I went back to the original study protocol. Just it's a little confusing. And really, I think that's a lot of factors at play in a lot of cases. And so this whole cost, you know, no cost difference from pan scan to the standard radiological workup and stuff like that is really, I just don't like it as much. All right, this was an unmasked randomization procedure. And the reason why that's important is that although the authors claim that selection bias was not possible, the team and its patients were aware of the randomization. What is worth remembering is that some of the inclusion criteria had subjectivity. One example of subjectivity the authors gave is in relation to high or low energy mechanism, as this is a subjective measure. This in turn led to multiple exclusions later for inappropriate enrollment. In the same sense, there were also a number of protocol violations with the use of total body scanning, which the authors attribute to experience leading to decreased violations. All right, my next point. There was a disproportional amount of polytrauma in the total body CT group versus the standard workup group. At face value, this seems like the total body group would have been the sicker population, but this may not necessarily be true. The findings are based on the Injury Severity Score, ISS, which is a bit of a tricky system, And scoring is based on injuries that are discovered, not necessarily based on other criteria, which is important to think about here in just a second. A patient receiving a PAN scan could inadvertently have more injuries discovered in scanning that are incidental and could in turn inflate the score. Since the score is based on findings, this will lead to an artificial increase. For example, you may not see that tiny little pneumo on a chest x-ray, and it's not really going to be clinically important. However, you find that tiny little pneumothorax on a chest CT because of the enhanced detail, and that gets added to the injury severity score. This is further supported by the fact that the deaths were essentially identical in the two groups, despite this little variation, based on the rates of in-hospital mortality, 24-hour mortality, and 30-day mortality. These were the three time frames that were measured in this study. All right, so I've come to my last point. Time is probably not all that important. Yes, technically there was a statistically significant difference in multiple time measures, but look at their differences. Let's take the first one. The median time to end of imaging was decreased in the total body group to the standard workup group with 30 minutes, an IQR of 24 to 40, versus 37 minutes, an IQR of 28 to 52, with a p-value of less than 0.0001. There was also a time to diagnosis of 50 minutes in the total body CT group with an IQR of 38 to 68 versus 58 minutes in the standard radiological workup group of an IQR of 42 to 78 with a p-value of 0.001. Also, there was, and they put this in quote, weak evidence of a decrease in median time spent in the trauma room of 63 minutes, an IQR of 47 to 102 for the total body group, versus 72 minutes, an IQR of 50 to 109 in the standard radiological workup group, with a p-value of 0.067. The reason why this seems weak, although technically a statistical difference, is that it has limited clinical significance. The time differences are less than 10 minutes when it comes in at the median times. Without having a difference in mortality, does this justify PAN scan if it is meant to speed up a process less than 10 minutes? It is possible that this could be more of a provider-oriented outcome, as it shows that it speeds up the time to disposition. But keep in mind that patients did receive a statistically significant difference in the amount of radiation they received both in the resuscitation room and during the hospital stay with less radiation in the standard workup group. With the exception of polytrauma, throughout their stay did receive slightly more radiation in the standard radiological workup group. All right, so how do our results compare to that of the authors? We agree with the conclusions made by the study group that total body CT scanning does not reduce in-hospital mortality compared to standard radiological workup. We also agree to their recommendation that future research should focus on the selection of who will benefit from immediate total body CT. So what's our bottom line here? Ultimately, we agree that total body CT scanning does not reduce mortality compared to standard radiological workup. Did you forget about our guy yet? Well, hopefully not. So, what are we going to do about him? After a thorough history and physical, you discuss with the patient options for management. You explain how a new study shows that total body CT scanning does not necessarily appear to reduce his risk of mortality and would expose him to more radiation. Using rule-out criteria, you clear his head and C-spine clinically. An EFAS exam is done along with other basic radiological imaging. With shared decision making, you both agree that CT scanning could be limited to the abdomen and pelvis, which in turn the exam was found to be unremarkable. He is discharged, and about a month later, he follows up with you to thank you for the work that was done in limiting his exposure to radiation. All right, so our clinical application. Although PAN scans may still be beneficial in certain patients, the empiric use of this technique may not be appropriate in many trauma patients. Careful selection of who would be appropriate should be considered prior to application. Keep in mind that there are rule-out criteria for different regions of the body and that these can still be employed if used correctly. In the end, with all this information, we need to think about what are we going to tell our patient. For me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and explain to them that we have a new paper that demonstrates there's no decrease in mortality over your hospital stay, the next 24 hours, or even the next 30 days, if we do a CT of your whole body versus limiting it to areas of concern. However, if we find anything on your exam that is concerning to us in any of those regions, we will still consider scanning them, especially after an informed discussion if possible. All right, so that is the first real official podcast, podcast number 3, the one with some actual information in it. We really hope you enjoy this. Understand it's a lot to throw at you. There are some things we're going to have to change up. Definitely over time, we're going to do some different things. In fact, I already have plans for some different talks. And don't worry, I'm going to be bringing on some guests here soon. So if you like what you hear, please let me know. I'm always open to it. Really am working on making this the best podcast possible and to get as many different views and opinions as possible. Speaking of that, you can find me any number of ways. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can even find me personally on LinkedIn. But don't forget to come to our website, totalem.org. You can also email us, which we are always happy to get emails, or if you have any questions, comments, please post it on TotalEM if possible, or email me. And in turn, you can even post your discussions. I love to get started on Twitter as well. In the end, we thank you for listening, however you listen. We hope you like us. We hope you rate us high. We hope you get as much of this going for us as much as possible because we want to spread the information and knowledge. Again, I really want to thank you for everything you've done and all the time you've spent listening. And please let us help get better.
We hope to hear from you soon. Until then, continue to provide total care everywhere.